telling you the thing that I saw on Twitter, where there was a Black Lives Matter march, right?
Right.
These ignorant white people came up. And you know they're a part of the Confederacy, even though the Confederacy what lasted dick all, like 5 years, but yet people are so hugging on to that flag.
That's my heritage. My family fought for that flag.
Fought what? Tell me. Exactly. Fought for what? Exactly, they can't say that.
For white supremacy, you fucking dick. Like.
And this fella was saying like that, that his family fought for that flag and that his family were able to buy land under that flag. Right? And it just makes me mad because the fella that he was trying to say this to was a black man. And the black man, without missing the beat, goes, right, tell me, who worked that farm? And you've seen your man panic. And he goes, well, my family did. And he was like, so you're telling me your family had a massive farm and a massive ranch and didn't have any slaves? He goes like, no, do you know how expensive you used to be? He's like, that. No, we couldn't afford you. Do you know what you were worth back in the day?
Yeah, as if that's even like a valid argument. It's like, I'm not racist because I couldn't afford a slave. Like I can't deal with that.
Like, oh, the pure stupidity and ignorance of some people.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, I blame the school systems in America though, because they're trying their best. They're absolute best to water down their history and not tell the truth of what happened, and like they're just like, oh, we're the best, we're the greatest, we do everything, we did everything for everyone, and we're the best. And it's like, no, your country was built off of the back of immigrants and slaves.
But there was even this clip, now I know it's from a film, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very prevalent because all the facts in it are true. And this fella's talking on stage anyway, and he's like, okay, you're going to tell me why America's the greatest country in the world. He goes like, we're fourth in literacy. We're like way down the list on healthcare. He's like, we're not number one in anything. So tell me how we're the greatest country in the world. And it's a fact.
It's an absolute fact. And it's because they lie completely to their people. So they're like, we're number one. And then you literally, if you left America at all and looked at any other country, you'd realise you weren't the best anywhere at anything ever.
Like, I'm not saying Ireland is the best place in the world. I'm really not. Or like the best at anything. But like, I think it's a hell of a lot better than what.
Yeah. I was literally having this this conversation with David the other day, where I was like, you'll find me hard pressed to praise Ireland. Very hard pressed. Especially the Irish government. But yeah. The only thing I could say is, in comparison to America, is that America believes they live in a democracy when they do not. Ireland is a democracy as democracy should be. We love our president because our president has no power, realistically.
He is a cherub. If anybody is here from the country and you want to see this man, right, he literally looks like a gnome. And he has two big massive dogs that he brings everywhere with, right? And even when he's meant to be giving serious press conferences, he'll stop and pet his dogs and start playing with them. Like, he's a gem of a man.
Because the dogs just deserve the attention. There's nothing more important than the love of his animals. He is genuinely a blessing. And then when it comes to something like what we had with the abortion vote,
yeah,
where, you know, we had all the kind of the fucking boomers trying to stop it from coming in. It was the young people, it was all of us that went, fucking no,
no,
we want this vote. We deserve to have rights over our own bodies.
Yeah.
And we got it in. And if we weren't a democracy, that never would have happened. Yeah. The power is in the people in Ireland. Yeah.
And as well, we were the very first country in the world to legalise same-sex marriage by popular vote. Not just because the government decided to bring it in. Like, it was put to the people. Well, obviously, like, it should have been selected that they could anyway, but still, like, that standpoint where, like, even if you go back, like, Ireland was a ridiculously Catholic country. Like, if you would have done that vote 20 years prior, it wouldn't have happened.
It would not have happened.
It wouldn't have even been put to the people, I don't think.
Absolutely not.
But now, like, it is, like you said, it's a very, very democratic society, in my opinion.
And it's I genuinely praise the shit out of the young generations in Ireland, because they're the ones that have brought in a lot of change. Like, voting for the right party instead of continuously voting in the same two fucking idiot parties that have ruined our country for the past 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of that stuff, it's all the young people, so good, fair play to them. But like I said, it wouldn't happen if we weren't a democracy. And we had a vote for the stupidest thing. What was it? The
which one?
Blasphemy. We had a vote to remove blasphemy as punishable offence. Like, taking the Lord's name in vain. That was a law. You couldn't do it against the law in Ireland. And they were just like, yeah, do you think we should get rid of this? And we were all just like, fucking yeah.
Like, what's the point?
But even something as silly as that was put to the people. Because if we had just gone, no, let's keep blasphemy illegal. I want to see some people arrested for going, ah, Jesus Christ. Like, think how many of us would be in prison.
I say Jesus fucking Christ, I'd say about 20 times a day. Even the priests are taking the Lord's name in vain.
Exactly.
It's like the whole country does it, so they could have just got rid of it, but still decided. Yeah.
Should we may put it to the people because we are a democracy? It's exactly that. And you would never catch that shit in America. Never.
You wouldn't.
Never. And like, they're so back and forth on everything. It's like, let's legalise weed. And then like 2 weeks later, they were like, weed's the devil. We need to stop weed from being legal again. And it's like, make up your fucking minds. Like,
yeah. And if they do legalise it, I want every person that was ever convicted
released. Yes.
Thank you.
There is no reason for someone to be in fucking prison on a stupid drug charge for having the fucking joint or 3 grams or whatever, a personal possession.
This is what annoys me though about them, because they legalise like the weed moms and people that like cook with weed and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then if you are like just walking down the street and then have like the tiniest bit on you, or you're, mm-hmm. that was intent to sell.
Exactly.
That's a gateway drug.
No.
If they want to put it from like that perspective, right, I'm going to bring the church into it because I love doing that. So when they give out communion wine, is that not the gateway to alcoholism then, if they put it like that? Because, oh, they're going to get a taste of the drink. Oh, they're going to ruin their lives.
2 bottles of red for a fiver in Tesco. There's the body of Christ there. Not a bother. Yeah. Just get a priest to fucking do
I'm
that
practicing
over
practicing my religious rights to get fucking hammered. So does it make sense?
You're absolutely right. But, you know, weed is the devil's lettuce.
That... Why that was ever a statement? Like, the devil's lettuce.
I know. Why lettuce?
Like, that's what, whatever about the devil, because I can understand they're trying to say it's bad, but lettuce.
But I mean, like, these religious types will try and put anything out. I don't know if you've seen the videos of, like, Monsters, like, not a Christian company. And it's
oh,
the devil,
my God, what was she like, this is Hebrew for 666.
Yeah.
And I was like, eye of the monster, so eye of the devil. I was like, does this one actually hear what she's talking about?
It even has the word MILF on the back of the can. Do you know what a MILF is? That's not very Christian. And I was just like, what?
Like, it's trying to throw shit at the wall and see what will stick.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't.
It's so ridiculous. Just disclaimer, we are neither supported by weed somehow. Nor are we sponsored by Monster, although shout out to me because I have drank many, many a can of Monster.
I'm surprised
and
that's like
my heart.
Your blood count is not just like 90% Monster, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm baffled at how much you actually consume.
But, okay, so we've like rambled for 20 minutes about politics again because, you know, the world is in shit and we're angry people.
And this was meant to be a relaxed episode.
We don't know how to relax.
That's true.
We're incapable. Like,
so angry all the time.
Yes, we should probably get cracking on this episode. We've already rambled long enough that you guys probably noticed that Quiva is not with us today. She is busy. Our girl is tied up. She's got business prospects. She is flourishing. We support her and she just doesn't need to be bogged down with trying to find stupid topics because, dear God, we picked the worst topic for this week to talk about, but we managed to pull through.
Oh my God. And it's my fault. And you know what? I hate myself for it.
Yep. But alas, we did it. We found some notes and hopefully we'll make it interesting. Oh, as always, God. We're always hopeful. Yeah. So Quiva will be joining us back hopefully next week. If not, it'll be the week after, depending on how busy she is. You'll hear from her again. She's not gone permanently. Don't worry.
She's just taking a little sidestep for the moment.
Exactly. Other than that, if you hear any sort of coughing or my voice goes, ignore me. It's not Rona. It's just a little bit of like a head cold or the flu or I don't know something. But it's not Rona, so at least there's that.
Well, we hope.
Yeah, we hope. I've got the nose. The nose doesn't tend to be part of Rona, does it?
I don't know.
Don't tell me that. Because I've only started going outside again and seeing people.
Maybe that's why you got the Rona.
Probably. So, we'd normally roll to see who goes first, but there's only the two of us.
I feel very uncomfortable. Will we still do it anyway? Because I feel like it's wrong.
Really?
If we don't.
Fair enough. I was going to say, like, I usually go in the middle, so realistically I should just go last. But fuck it, let's roll. So, yeah. We'll keep you at above 10 and I'll take Quiva's position in under 10 and let's see what we land on.
It's all is right in with the world, because if we didn't roll, I'd actually feel a bit uncomfortable. Which is stupid, but I would.
We have to stay on brand. And it is 5. Oh, fuck, it's me. Okay. I wasn't ready for it. Splash. Okay, so I went through about a million topic changes this week.
Same.
I got so stressed. I originally wanted to do either the Ottoman Empire or something to do with the Mongolians or something like that because they're deeply interesting. The problem with that is that you can't focus in on one thing with them. Like, I could have just done, like, Genghis Khan, but then it's just sort of a history lecture and not really a podcast. So I was maybe not. And then I was thinking the Dancing Plague, because the Dancing Plague is a hilarious point in history. And I'd love to see it make a comeback, even though some people did die of exhaustion, but I'm sure it would be able to equip with it.
Give me 5 hours, I'd have an asthma attack.
What words just came out of my mouth?
What do you mean?
I'm sure we'd be better able to equip with it. We'd be better equipped to deal with it, is what I was trying to say.
I'm not going to lie, right? I knew exactly what you meant and I didn't question how you formed that sentence because it made total sense to me.
My brain is mush. Yes, no, I'm sure we'd be better able to deal with that sort of situation in these times than back when it actually happened.
You'd make a fucking sick dance video, wouldn't you? Like a music video.
Zombie mob, let's go.
Oh my god, like Thriller. Because when we eventually go through an apocalypse, then would be the right time to strike. So then all the zombies get it. And it'd be like a Thriller music video and everyone be standing like giving the shoulder fucking shakes. Wearing the tight red bodysuit thing.
We have to make sure everyone is supplied with exactly one glove before the apocalypse hits.
Yeah. And has to do at the exact same time.
That is what I want. And we all have to learn how to do that freaky fucking toe thing where we lean forward and then come back without falling. I can't even walk on my 2 flat feet.
I'll do it with the assistance of a hydraulic system. Don't worry, I lean forward and it can just zoom me back.
Or even one of those swim and support things that they have for fat dogs when you have to put them into a swimming pool. That's what we'll need. Yeah, so none of that was working out because, the Dancing Plague was too short to do with just 2 of us. So hopefully this one's a little bit long enough. I decided to settle on poisonings in the Renaissance because I cannot get away from murder, apparently, particularly Italy. So I found 2 different stories, all in the same thing, all in the Renaissance period in Italy. And one, the one I'm going to start with, is a 500-year-old murder mystery.
Love that.
Yes. So we have Giovanni Pico della Mirandolo.
That is a powerful fucking name.
Right? It's unsuiting too because he was a powerful man. So he was an Italian philosopher.
Ooh.
And he came from an aristocratic background.
Mm.
They were rich bitches. Like, they had kind of a dynasty that ruled over a town called Mirandola.
Mm.
From a fortified castle that still bears the family name. So it's still there.
Ooh, another thing to add to Nugget Trip.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. I'd love to see it. Pico was well educated, attending 3 highly notable universities. I was too lazy to write down all the names of them.
He went to 3 universities?
3 universities.
Could you be arsed? I couldn't even hack doing one. I'd drop honestly out. Could you imagine?
We survived one exact year. That was it. But who needs an education when you're just going to become a podcaster?
Fact.
So, 3 fucking universities and really high standard ones. I think the last one was the University of France somewhere and it was the most elite school you could go to at the time.
Okay.
So he became fluent in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic and Chaldean.
How the fuck?
Right? Not even okay, Greek you can kind of get over, but the rest of them are pretty
Aramaic
much,
though, that's such dead languages. Ancient language.
Yep.
I only know that because of Vampire Diaries, but still, I still know that it's hard as shit.
Yeah, Aramaic shit is always surrounded proper curses and shit. And then Chaldean I forgot was even a thing because it's that ancient and that old. I barely know anything about it, but it's there. It's there with the ancient dead fucking languages that nobody bothers to even learn about now at this point. Like I said, philosopher, humanitarian, master of languages. After his body was exhumed, they found out that he was 6'2", really stocky, and he had an abnormally large skull. And for good reason. Apparently he was quite good looking as well.
I was going to say, he sounds like he could have been a bit of a babe.
Yeah. I didn't really see any, portraits of him or anything like that on my journeys. But portraits never do them justice anyway.
No, because they're I don't trust the true, description or depiction.
Exactly.
Why are we trying to, figure out
how like fit really... this philosopher was.
What is wrong with us?
Because he was described as being a catch. So I'm like, I'm just stating he was described as a catch. But yeah, so the reason for his abnormally large skull, we believe, is because he had a huge brain and his memory became legendary. So even with all of the like academic prowess that was around in the Renaissance, you know, it was a time for the academics in the Renaissance.
Yeah.
He was a freak. Like he was abnormally intelligent and his memory was
insane.
Did he
have a mega head as well? Don't like mega mind.
See, I don't know if it was like disproportionately bulbous. Large or if it was just like large, because I think he was a bit chunky as well.
Because I was going to say, like, do you know, like, the bobbleheads or the things with the real skinny necks and the big heads?
Oh my god, yes.
Kinda, like, beaten round to the side.
Like a fresh-born baby, just not able to keep their head up, just wobbling.
Did you say fresh-born baby as well?
Yeah.
Not newborn.
No, fresh.
It's like fresh out of the fanny. Like,
yeah, you start going stale once you start hitting into like 2 or 3 years old. It's once the attitude starts developing, you're not fresh anymore. Fuck, where was I? Yes, his memory became legendary because he was able to recite Dante's Divine Comedy backwards, starting with the last line of Paradiso.
Oh.
So like, Dante's shit is long as fuck. And, like, he chose, as well, he's Italian. This fucker chose to think and speak in Latin. Like, he just chose it. He was like, I like this language. This is my language now.
I don't...
I have lived in Germany for a year and a half, and I have passable German. I couldn't imagine ever having my thoughts completely replaced with German or...
But on top of knowing, like, about 5 other languages, like...
Exactly.
I'd love to get that.
I started learning German, and I forgot Irish and French. Gone. We're deleted from my brain. My brain has room for 2 languages at most. That's it. How? This
it's
guy.
Crazy.
Honestly. Clever cookie. Yes. While being grilled on events that took place 2 decades previous in the Palermo Appeals Court, former President Giorgio Napolitano was quoted as saying, do you think I have the same memory as Pico della Mirandola's? This was like recently. This was just a couple of years back that he said this. He's that's still that legendary for his memory that like that was
Jeez,
a thing he could say.
That's mad.
There's just a little background on this dude. So even without the whodunit aspect of his death,
oh,
his
died.
Death itself was harrowing enough. Oh yeah. It's a 500-year-old murder mystery. Were you not listening?
I was just too engrossed with the details about how smart he was and probably how fit he was. And then he was just like, oh yeah, he's dead. Like, I know he's dead, obviously, because it was 500 years ago and he's not going to be alive today, like, but...
No, he died at 31.
Oh, murdered before his
He was murdered. Mm-hmm. So his death was harrowing. It took him 2 weeks to die. And this part actually made me quite sad because it's so sweet. So it's said that he fell into a calm and tranquil state before his death. Like, he just accepted it and he was like, I'm going to die. I'm at peace with it. He asked also his servants forgiveness if he had ever before that day offended any of them. Like, how sweet is that? He's like, he's on his deathbed and he wanted to make sure that, like, his servants never felt like...
Oh, sorry if I was ever a bit of a shit.
Yeah.
Missy all.
It's like, what a dude. What a dude. Especially in 14 fucking 30 odd. I think it's 1436, maybe? No, excuse me, 1494.
Oh.
So, like, the 1400s. No one gave a shit about their servants
didn't.
Then. Especially not someone with this kind of background. Like, he is... well up there with wealth and intelligence, so I think it's very sweet. So that was written in a brief account of his life written by Thomas More in 1504, so that's where that quote came from.
Right.
So Pico died in the autumn of 1494, but his death was shrouded in mystery. Even upon examination in 1494, the coroner suspected that it was murder and poison was the weapon of choice. It's such fancy ways of words.
Didn't they though?
Because you never think of poison as like a weapon. But it absolutely
is. It is a weapon,
like,
yeah.
You just never think to refer to it as that. And I just think it's so like, you can almost taste how nice that sentence is. Like,
this is why
words please me.
Women poison men.
Yeah.
It just sounds fantastic.
Yes, it's just, ew, my weapon of choice was poison. See, now I can't use poison if I ever have to kill David. It's just, it's never going to work out because they'll know.
What we'll do
is... ruined me, Lizzie.
We'll blur this out. Not blur it. Beep it out. Oh my God. So then if the time ever came, or when it does come...
Yes, of
you're
course.
You're fine.
I have to snap at some point. Like, I've held my shit together for too many years. Yeah, so obviously technology didn't exist to prove that it was murder at the time. Until 2007. when his body was exhumed in an attempt to solve the ancient mystery. So, like, 13 years ago, this all went down. The body was exhumed by scientists from the universities of Bologna, Pisa, and Lecce, under the management of Silvano Vincetti. Too many Italian names. I really hope like I'm not butchering them.
Doesn't it?
But... Oh my god, yes. It actually does.
I bet it'd be a delicious cheese, though.
Vincetta does sound like a really good, like, vintage cheese. It's been cured for, like, 15 years.
Expensive cheese, yes.
Yep. Like, it's right under there with the Parmigiano. It's just like, Now I'm sad this cheese doesn't exist. We're painting such a delicious cheese. Yeah, it was exhumed along with the body of scholar and poet Angelo Poliziano, who died just months later and was buried in the same grave and may have been his lover. Now, I'm sorry. They were poisoned within months of each other and they were buried in the same grave. What is may have about them being lovers?
They were banging buds, like 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. That was his hobby right there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no may have
may
about
have
it.
May have been. Would you go away?
Which leads me to a theory that may not be explored because of homophobia. So I'll get to that at the end.
Yeah.
I have theories about it. So both were found to contain highly toxic levels of arsenic, confirming the suspicions of the 1494 coroner. But why? So one theory is based on Pico having been part of the Medici court when it was ruled by... Yeah. Fancy bastards as well. When it was ruled by Lorenzo de' Medici, or Lorenzo the Magnificent.
I mean, have you seen his jawline?
I mean, powerful, he was quite magnificent, let's be honest.
And if the man's that, like, they're wealthy bankers, of course it's going to be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, the Medici family are, like, notorious in Italy. Like, they were so powerful. I can't even remember how their dynasty ended, but I don't think it ended well.
I don't think so. I forget, but I don't think so.
I was going to remember and look it up again and be like, oh yes, this is what happened to the Medici family, but like, they're not that relevant to this story, so I'm just not going to bother.
No, it's unimportant. It's for another time.
Exactly. So yeah, he was part of the Medici court when it was ruled by Lorenzo the Magnificent. But upon Lorenzo's death and the change of rule to his son Piero de' Medici, who was dubbed Piero the Unfortunate. I was like,
oh my god.
You're not really living up to your father, are you, mate?
Oh, he's like fucking hell. The family disappointment. For yep. Sure.
Like, if I was part of the Medici family, that I'd be Savannah the Unfortunate, like, absolutely. I felt slightly personally attacked by the name for some reason, for obvious reasons, actually. Yeah, so Pico then started to drift towards the teachings of the mad monk Girolamo Savonarola. That's an O and an L together, sorry. Savonarola, there we go. I thought it was a D, it's an O and an L. I can't write.
That was a mouthful, even if you got it wrong. Like, yeah, regardless. Right? Like, oh my god. No. This is why I had to change my mind from doing the Romans, because I couldn't hack it. Sorry, it was just too much.
As I was writing it, I was like, I am going to regret this as I'm trying to speak it. But sure, look, we're almost there. So at least the names, I think the complicated names are over with now. Piero was said to despise Pico because he had chosen to plead the cause of his enemy, which was Savonarola, and had him killed. In 1496, a man named Christopher confessed that he had hastened the death of his master by poisoning. He had been Pico's secretary. So it's kind of more or less certain that he did the actual poisoning, but whether it was like fucking Piero that got him poisoned because he opposed him, or a whole bunch of other fucking reasons, because he did have enemies, because he did have some quite controversial opinions and stuff. Okay. So that kind of thing. So the theory was put forward into a 2013 press conference by Silvano Vincetti, so the same guy who exhumed the bodies, but dates back as early as 1898. It's not the first time that it was like Piero was blamed for Pico's death.
Right.
There's also suggestion that, oh, you're going to love this part. There's also suggestions that Pico's studies and controversial philosophies, along with his love of natural magic, had him accused of witchcraft, and that's what's got him killed. Our boy could have been a witch.
Oh my god, I wonder, was he definitely like an alchemist then? Because like, he's clearly smart, so he has like the sciencey bits. He likes an old bit of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's class.
I think he was very much into all of that stuff. Like, he was just so well educated, I didn't even have the space on paper to write down the level of education this man had.
That is class.
Yeah, so it could have been jealousy, it could have been spite, it could have been hatred, it could have been witchcraft. no one knows really, which is disappointing. But Savonarola gave Pico's funeral address upon his death and claimed, which is quite sad because this man, like, he started turning to him and kind of like not worshipping him, but like seeing him as a leader. So yeah. This is a bit of a fucking stab in the back if Pico wasn't already dead. But he's claimed, and I quote, "The soul of Pico could not go to heaven at once. It was subject to a time in the flames of purgatory for certain sins." He failed to mention what sins. My other thing is, I don't know how okay it was to be gay in the Renaissance.
I don't think it was, because like that was like a heavily time. Like the Borgia Pope would have been the time of...
Yes, yeah, the Borgia Pope was around.
No, he was a bit of a dog, and apparently his kids were like, you know, incestuous. So, like, he was a bit of a dodgepole.
Lovely.
Not the point, but, like, it was still a heavily, heavily...
And this is Italy. So Italy is severely religious regardless of the time of year. Like,
I don't know if this is factual, right? Because, yet again, Hollywood always drums up drama and what things were like.
Mm-hmm.
But even, like, I remember watching the Borgias.
Yeah.
Like, the programme. And your man was, like, friends with an assassin. And he was gay, but nobody could know he was, otherwise he would have been killed himself. So I feel like probs wouldn't have been an okay thing.
Exactly. I do believe that homosexuality was rampant at the time, but what, accepted? No, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So he could have been killed for being gay.
Yeah.
And my other thing is that the secretary confessed to killing him. I'm wondering, was it a sort of lover scorned sort of situation that he could have been sort of doing bits with the secretary and then he gets with Angelo?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, fuck you. You're supposed to be with me, so I'm going to poison you now and kill you.
Especially that Angelo was also murdered.
Exactly my point. By arsenic as well, which means he was also poisoned. Nobody confessed to the murder of Angelo. So seems very, very suspicious to me. And, like, there was only a couple of months between them, so they might probably waited a couple of months to make sure that it wasn't, like, connected, so that anyone who did know about their relationship wouldn't be like, oh, what the fuck, you know? That's my theory. I feel like it might be a lover's scorn situation.
And this fella that apparently, like, that had admitted to poisoning him, did he have, like, a family? Because I'm thinking, what about if somebody really well off paid him to confess because they were after murdering? And then it was like, oh, well, pay off your family to make sure they're looked after. You just take the fall for it.
Exactly. Or he could have very well been paid to kill them in the first place.
Yeah.
To administer the poison, because they had, obviously he had the closest access to them. So he was the best candidate to be a patsy.
Yep. Oh my god, the drama.
It is, the Borgia fucking Pope actually said that it's meant to be, it's destined to just be shrouded in mystery forever. We're never going to know why he
I guarantee that Sly Hoare had a hand in it, because he was...
Probably.
...in everything. Like, he was so corrupted, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he only became a Pope not because, like, for the religious part of it. It was all power and money for him.
For the prestige, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, don't trust him for a second. Like, appreciate the grind that he had and managed to pull it off.
Yeah, good grift, not respecting what you did. That's all. I think it could have been that too, because he did sort of have some, I think, Muslim influences in his philosophical writings. Right. Where he basically had like a dream of uniting world religions and philosophy together in one. Which,
way ahead of its
if
time.
If you've ever studied or any sort of... Oh yeah, he was well ahead of his time. But if you've ever studied any sort of philosophy, philosophy does not unite people. Whenever anyone asked me what I was studying in college and they didn't understand what philosophy was, I told them it was the study of arguments, because that's all it is. It's like, you'll read somebody's theory about something or the way they look at something and you literally just have to go, no, that's not what I think. I disagree. And here's why. Even if you didn't, it was very frustrating. But yeah, so that was that one. And now we've got one that I love even more. And it's basically, I've actually found so much about this story, even though I'd never heard of it before that. And it started with the most prolific serial killer you've never heard of. Have you ever heard of, I guess, just even the name Acqua Tofana?
I don't think so.
Wonderful. You're going to enjoy this story so much. There is not a lot of information known about Giulia Tofana. So she lived and worked in Palermo in the 17th century. However, no portraits have either survived or ever existed of her. So there's nothing of this woman. It's even argued that she never existed.
Oh, but right, okay.
I feel like the story is too infamous for it to have never have happened, you know?
Yeah.
You can see what you think once I'm done. She was believed to be the daughter of Thofania D'Adamo, that's the one, who was executed in Palermo on the 12th of July 1633, accused of having murdered her husband, Francis. Julia was described as being a beautiful, intelligent woman and spent a lot of her time with the apothecaries at the time, watching as they made their potions and eventually learning to make her own.
Oh, she was smart.
Mm-hmm. It's debated that it may have been here that she learned to develop her recipe for Acqua Tofana, or that it may have been passed on to her from her mother.
Ooh.
So we're not sure how she got it, but she did some good stuff with it. It's going to be a controversial opinion that I'll probably get in trouble with once you know what it did.
I'm feeling I'm going to agree because I have like a suspicion.
Acqua Tofana was a deadly combination of arsenic, lead and belladonna.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It said that 4 drops was enough to completely destroy a man. That is an actual quote. That's not me just being like, destroy all men. No, that's a quote. It was completely destroy a man. 4 drops. Belladonna was frequently used as a cosmetic product by women in the Renaissance at the time, as a way to dilate their pupils, because that was the beauty standard. So they were like, looking like you're stoned off your fucking trolley, apparently, was an absolute goal for these women, and they were putting literal poison into their eyeballs, like a drop in each eyeball.
Smoke,
to make
man,
their,
you'd be fine.
Their pupils dilate. See, again, once again, legalise it, people will stop putting poison in their eyeballs. So, yeah, so, you know, it kind of went under the radar then because it contained, like, they used arsenic and lead in face powders as well they bleach your skin tone. So all perfectly fine ingredients to have in cosmetics at the time. So Acqua Tofana was odourless, flavourless, colourless and completely untraceable. Julia started a cosmetics counter as a way to quietly sell Acqua Tofana that was also disguised as a cosmetics product, which even had directions for use on the bottle to avoid further suspicion. They'd be like, use 1 to 2 drops on your face at night or something like that. So it'd be kind of like if their husband saw the bottle or whatever, or even the police came knocking around, they wouldn't think any more of it. It's just, that's just women's stuff. It's just makeup. It's fine. Very, very intelligent so far. I'm like, this is just fucking genius. I'm loving every minute of it. So some women would come to Julia for regular cosmetics, but most women and even some men came to buy Acqua Tofana. So in the 1600s, women were given into arranged marriages. And most of the time these marriages were just miserable or abusive or both.
Mm.
And they would have been like, you know, forced into it because women weren't allowed to work.
Yeah.
So they had to get money somehow. They had to live. Divorce wasn't an option. Mm. You just couldn't get divorced. Especially not in the Renaissance Italy. Yeah. Really all women could do for money was either prostitute themselves, get married, or become a wealthy widow. What of those 3 options are you going to pick?
Oh, wealthy widow, 100%.
Exactly. You're not going to stay in a miserable marriage if you don't have to. Acqua Tofana was a perfect way to achieve the last and best option. Julia even coached the women on how to act during the poisoning as their husbands became sicker and sicker. And what to do after death to assure they were never suspected for murder. So they were to like, she told them to be like, to be really concerned and be like, what's wrong with him? Get the physicians out. They'll check him out. They'll be like, oh, you just have like, the first dose, say they kind of have like kind of flu-like symptoms. And then the second dose, they'd get a little bit worse. And then by the third, they were like vomiting, diarrhea, stomach cramps, on fire, everything shutting down, like world is ending. And then the fourth one, dead, gone. So 4 doses slowly over time. And because it was like a slow burner, like,
it kind of looked
murder,
like they got like an illness and just passed away. Oh, smart.
The doctors were like, what the fuck? I gave you medicine. Like, you should be getting better. This doesn't make any sense. And then they died. And like, because as well, they knew they were dying. The men obviously got their affairs in order. They got a will ready. They like atoned for their sins for the sake of fearing God, which made the women feel better because they had time to atone for their sins. So that in their minds, they were going to heaven. So, like, it was a win-win all around, as far as the women go.
God.
Not so much for the men.
I wonder how many old-timey sicknesses were actually just mad cows like this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, all these mystery illnesses that have, like, ravaged towns and stuff.
So, yeah, then after the death, they were to demand an autopsy. Because it's like, what happened to my husband? I want to know what happened. Surely something must have happened to him. He couldn't have just died.
I love this so much. Like,
it's untraceable, so nothing would ever show up, and they knew full well they were perfectly safe to do that. So that pretty much just guaranteed their illnesses, because it's like, oh look, the grieving wife, there's no way she killed him.
Yeah.
And like every single bit of it was coached to them by Julia. I just, fucking wonderful. Actresses to the highest degree. So everything kept going well, and Tofana, along with her daughter, they eventually moved her business to Naples and then Rome. So they kind of like, they moved from sort of low-level Sicily up into Rome, which would have been a lot more, you know, prestigious then.
Yeah.
So they were obviously making good money off of this.
Oh, too right.
Everything came crashing down.
Ah.
Because of a bowl of soup.
What?
Yep. So a woman bought the poison. Julia did her background checks on these people. Like, word got out about Acqua Tofana because of word of mouth. It was like, hey, like, you want to kill your shitty husband? And like, it was only people that they trusted that they knew they wouldn't. Because like, her customers were very protective of her because she was holding their secret too.
Of course, yeah.
So it was a sisterhood.
Of the travelling arsenic.
Exactly. But yeah, they didn't let anyone in that they thought was going to snitch or fuck it up.
Yeah.
But this one, she did her background checks on her. She was like, no, I really want to kill him. It was all G. She sold her the Acqua Tofana. She got it home. She put two drops into her husband's soup. And he started eating it, but she just got absolutely fucking walloped with guilt. She just couldn't do it. So she was like, don't eat the soup, don't eat the soup. And he was like, what? And she like begged him not to eat the soup. And he was like, what the fuck is in the soup? Because he knew. He was like, she's after doing something to my soup. So he pinned her to the ground and bet the living shite out of her. I was going to say,
like, what does she think was going to happen? He was like, it's okay, I forgive you. As if he's not going to beat the absolute living daylights out of her. Because there's a reason why she was trying to do it in the first place, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because he probably bet the shite out of her about 100 times before this.
Like,
no reason to have guilt, honey. You bought the poison for a reason.
For weakness.
You fucked everything up. This could still be going today.
Selfish. We don't condone murder, but selfish.
I mean, in these circumstances, I fully understand it. And I'm like, you know what? You do you, because otherwise your life is going to be miserable. And obviously these men were pieces of shit. Mm. So if there is no other way out, murder it must be. But yeah, now you can just get divorced. So maybe just don't put arsenic in your husband's soup.
I mean, just an idea, you know.
Yeah, you don't just a suggestion. Us. I'm not telling you how to live your life.
Or how to murder.
You know.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Or how to end somebody else's. It's just, we don't think it's a good idea. So he pinned her to the ground, like I said, bet the shit out of her, and got her to admit what she had done and where she had gotten the poison. Ooh. Julia, thank God, was tipped off that someone had confessed, and she went to a church to request sanctuary, which she was granted, until a rumour quickly spread that she had poisoned the entire water supplies throughout Rome. She fucking didn't.
No, she didn't. That's just a...
Think of the level of arsenic that you'd need as well to poison an entire water supply in a city the size of Rome. Like, come on.
But nice.
Alas, rumours spread and people believe them. And this is what we mean about ignorance and sheepleness and stupidity. And just do some fucking research.
Mm-hmm.
She was captured and tortured. Like, the church had to give her up. They didn't have a choice because... This was more like
serious. It was bigger than just, what, yeah.
Yeah, an accusation of like, oh, she sold me some poison and I tried to kill my husband with it.
That's a terror attack, like, if you're trying to poison an entire
exactly.
city's water system.
And I mean, the part that's coming next might also actually make it seem like it probably really was a terror attack, but, you know, a justified one, I suppose. But she eventually confessed to killing over 600 men with Acqua Tofana between 1633 and 1651 alone. Now, one source said that it was 600 overall. Another said that it was 600 in Rome alone. So, like, she lived in Naples and the other tiny town in Sicily before that. So, it could be, like, 1,000. It could be more. I don't know.
She's a busy woman. But technically, she didn't really do anything. She just produced the product and gave some useful acting tips. That is all.
Exactly. What these women chose to do with that information was entirely up to them.
That's their business.
And now, obviously, it is also said that it's quite possible that she was forced to exaggerate the numbers because she was tortured to get information out of her. So she might have been like, oh, I killed 100 men. So I feel like 100 is probably about the right number for that many years and the amount of women that would have been going to
her. And they obviously didn't believe her and was like, no, tell us more. And she was like, yeah, okay. And
exactly.
Had to give something like, scandalous.
That's not as many as you killed. You killed more. We know you killed more. And then she's like, ah, fuck, 600. And then they were like, yeah, that sounds fine. And then they're like, cool, enough to execute. But yeah, she was executed along with her daughter. and three other helpers, like, of the business. So she had, like, three other kind of employees that helped her
yeah.
to produce the products and stuff. And they were all murdered in July 1659. After her death, her body was thrown over the wall of the church that had provided her sanctuary.
Aww.
So, like, as a fuck you to the church for protecting her, they fucked her dead body over the wall. So dramatic. So unnecessary.
Honestly, like.
Like, those poor fucking nuns and priests are going to look out with that poor woman's body and be, like, traumatised forever, like, because of that.
Cannonballed over the wall. Imagine any of them were just out in the garden, right? Not the way the nuns always have their little gardens.
Stop.
And then you just have this oh. decrepit, because well, she's dead, so I'm going to say decrepit, body.
Yeah, well, I mean, after being tortured, yeah. I don't think she would have been looking well.
No, she wouldn't have been looking grand at all. Mm. Baiting off their beds of flowers. Oh my God, traumatising. Stop.
Imagine. Just a poor sweet little nun just trimming her rose bushes and then just fucking...
She could have right well nearly landed on somebody. Sorry now.
Exactly. Julia's body just gets catapulted down on top of her. Like, stop, you'd never be the same again.
No, you won't.
Yeah, so that was horrible. But last part of this is, long after Julia's death, the legend of Acqua Tofana remained in whispers around Italy. With even Mozart, fucking Mozart, upon his death in 1791... So bear in mind, she died in fucking, what did I say?
1651?
Oh no, sorry. She was executed in 59. Yes, 1659, and this is 1791. Over 100 years later, still talking about it. He said, and this is a quote as well, "I will not last much longer. I am sure that I have been poisoned. I cannot rid myself of this idea. Someone has given me Acqua Tofana and calculated the precise time of my death." But it's very unlikely that he actually was poisoned, and most likely he died from a fever induced by syphilis.
Oh, so, he was syphilitic, and he's just trying to pretend that he wasn't.
Yeah. It was also said, actually, with the first story that I went into, that Angelo might have died of a fever from syphilis as well, because syphilis was just rampant in the Renaissance. But I'm like, nah, he was poisoned. Like, why would, like, six other journals say that he had high levels of arsenic in his bones? If then somebody else is going to be like, it was probably syphilis.
Like, on a normal day, if his lover wasn't poisoned, like, weeks prior, maybe he would have been like, oh yeah, he was syphilitic as well. Not then, I don't think.
But poor old Mozart. There was also another thing that he'd eaten an undercooked bit of pork and died from that. But I was like, I'm going with the syphilis route.
That's embarrassing if it was the case. No, it was definitely syphilis. Man, you're big and bold enough to go around doing bits to get syphilis, so just embrace it.
Exactly. No one's catching syphilis from the air. Like, there's no airborne syphilis. In the genitals, in the mouth, you end up like fucking Darvulia from episode one.
Get it in your brain. Shout back.
Yep, exactly. It's going to start chewing you all up. Don't be silly, wrap your willy. We'll say it again.
I really like that one. Because I didn't really know much about it. I think it's really refreshing to know, and, you know, dick all about it. It's great, like. No, I really like that. And we haven't done a poisoning yet, I don't think, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Well, apart from Om Shinrikyo, but, like, it doesn't count. No, it does count on poisoning, but, like, not the personal poisoning where you're going out and, like, there's a reason why you're assassinating
exactly.
someone, as opposed to, like, a terrorist attack, but...
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's more like the good old-timey, like, shit that you see in old movies based on the Renaissance or just those kind of days. And, like, I'm just so glad there was things like that I could find, because otherwise I did not know what I was talking about for this episode.
Right, if you could go back, right, during any period of history and live for a day, what one would you pick?
Oh, damn. That is a good question. I mean, I do always say that I'd like to go back to, like, the age of Aquarius, because it was all free love and burn the bra and fucking
Manson.
Drugs were everywhere.
Oh, never mind.
So... you automatically assume no, because I am not down with stabbing the shit out of a pregnant lady, although I would like to have seen him, definitely, just go back and have a
gawk at him. Crazy, like, he was like,
you're Charles Manson. He's just be like, I'm nobody,
fucking, like, twitching in
fucking psycho. Yeah, I would like to see that. But even further back period, I think I'd like to go back to, like, the 20s.
Oh, that would be savage.
Yeah, I'd love to be like a flapper and, like, hang out with Hemingway and, like,
go to all great. The, what are they called? Like, the speakeasies and stuff like that.
Yes.
I'll be lost.
Yes, yes, yes. I think, yeah. I think that would be my times. So, either the 20s or the 70s. I'm like, none of the other 50 years, I wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't have made through the whole day. They'd be like, burn the witch!
See, that's why I want to go back further. Because, one, I'd give them all my attitude and then just, like, disappear before they could try burning me as a witch.
I suppose it would depend on what kind of time travel.
I'd love to go back to, like, medieval times. Because I'm always really drawn to that for whatever reason. And I always have been, like, really fascinated by it. So I'd love to go back and tell them all the things that they think are dead right. And be like, God is a lie. Science is real. And then watch as they, like, internally fight with themselves and think that I'm a devil. And then I can wear, like, a really pretty dress.
And then you just
dress.
Start pulling out, like, calculators and like,
you're
mobile
like,
phones.
Give me any numbers. Ha!
The answer is here, mathematician. Ha ha ha. We would absolutely fuck up the timeline of history and end the world, but like,
well,
at least we'd have fun.
Would be a fun little round trip. Like, I'd probably do it when I was really old and on my deathbed, so then if I was going to die anyway, didn't really matter what I did.
You just ended the entire existence of the universe and you're like, yeah, well, I'm dying anyway, so fuck it. It's going to be like fucking, what's it, Gravity Falls, and you're going to have, like, Time Baby taking you to court for fucking up the timelines. Or Rick and Morty, when they go back and they find Einstein because they think it's Rick and they beat the shit out of him. They're like, with time! I will mess with time!
I love that show so much.
Oh, so good. Anyway, What have you got for me this week?
Well, like you, I think I changed my mind a million times, because first I wanted to do the gladiators, but then just with the amount of pronunciations I would have to do, and I'm far too lazy for it, and they're far too complicated, it would just give me a migraine. So that was a no.
Like me.
And then I was like, ooh, will I do something about the Victorian era where they'd eat, like, mummies and shit because it thought it gave them, like, health properties.
Oh my god, yes.
Fascinating, but then at the same
absorbing
time,
their power.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, then it was like, I haven't got much to go on because it was just a thing they did and was normal. But obviously, like, we think it's sick and obviously is sick because it's still a form of cannibalism and I don't care what people say.
It's not even cannibalism. Cannibalism, not that I understand it or condone it, but I can almost understand it when it's, like, fresh meat, because at the end of the day, that's all we are.
But when
we're
this
meat.
Is, like,
it's a mummy,
beef
man.
Jerky,
like,
type.
Beef jerky! Exactly!
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's... Oh my god, I can't imagine.
No.
I cannot imagine.
No. And then I was going to do medieval torture and all of the ways, they were grim. But that's all you could really tell. Like, I could tell it was, like, the different things that they used to do to people. But, like, there obviously was some stories of, like, certain nobles that were killed, but they were given, like, a quick death. And then just, like, it wasn't interesting like that. It would have been kind of like a history lesson.
Yeah, so, much like me with the Mongols.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like, it's still interesting to know, but unless I think you're a fan of history, you're not going to be interested. I don't, like, they mightn't even be interested in what I'm going to talk about now. But I've decided, and it's kind of, we kind of matched on accident again. Just when you all talk about witchcraft, because I'm going to do the Salem witch trials.
Oh my god.
So
we did it again.
We did it again.
We are one mind. We can't help it.
So I just really wanted to do this one. I wanted to cover it anyway. And because I was struggling so much this week, I was like, perfect. It'll do. But I always wanted to do it because I was always so fascinated with how rumours and absolutely no fact could lead so many people to their death. Like, it was crazy to me. So just very quickly, the sources for this week is going to be, you know, like, the History Channel. So, like, it's just history.com because that's where I got most of it. And then there's a YouTuber and it's just youtube.com/Salem. I'm neglecting poor Wikipedia this week. I'm sure I'll be back on the grind next week, don't worry.
We had to get some legit sources sometime, though. We can't keep relying on Wikipedia.
Honestly, we're going to get called out at some point.
Honestly.
So for anybody that is unfamiliar with the Salem witch trials, so it's basically fear and rumour and blatant lies that led to the murder of up to 20 people in the 1600s in Salem, Massachusetts. So it all began during the spring of 1962. No, not 1962, you dumbass. Dyspraxic! 1692! Jesus Christ!
High five for fucking up our dates together.
You're on about the age of Aquarius and I'm here like, oh yes, the hippies and Salem were all the one time. My Christ.
You know what? It would be fitting, so I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Because even when I said it, I was like, I could hear my brain roaring at me, wrong! Go back! So, the spring of 1692 on January 9th. So 9-year-old Elizabeth Paris and 11-year-old Abigail Williams began suddenly experiencing violent fits. They would, like, painfully contort their body and would be constantly screaming. These two girls were the nieces of like a high minister of Salem Village at the time, so a doctor was like immediately sent for, and he had to come to the house as quick as he could. And this unprofessional, because that's what he was, quickly and confidently diagnosed them with being bewitched. And I'm not sure, like, you've no proof,
right,
of what bewitchment actually is. So just because they have something they can't explain, they chalk it down to something that they don't know.
Exactly. And it just sounds like a severe form of epilepsy to me. And I'm like, how were they able to diagnose Elizabeth fucking Bathory in the 1500s with epilepsy, and they can't, like,
see
200 years later be like, yeah, epilepsy?
There is something, and this wasn't found out till the 70s, but I'll get to that later, of what could have caused this, right? Okay. And now we're on to another group of girls. A bunch of young ones practically ruined about 20 families' lives. Like, so one night, a group of about 5 girls were caught, like, dancing and acting hysterically in the woods. And in a panic, they were then telling people, oh, we were bewitched. And they were just, like, immediate believed. So they were started to exhibit, I'm using so many quotes, not that people can see, but so many quotes in this. So they began to exhibit.
Yeah, you can't see her, but, like, the bunny ears are going mad. Like, the two fingers are going to be broken by the end of this episode.
Legit, like. So they began to exhibit similar symptoms. So, like, the contorting, the spasms, the screams. And it was that bad, and, like, that it was spreading that quickly, that doctors and obviously the ministers in the area were, like, desperate for an explanation. So as of the way of the time, the only natural thing for people to blame for their misfortune and upset was to blame it on an entity that they had no proof that existed. Witches. Basically, back in the day, people believed that the devil had given select humans the power and will to harm others in return for their undying loyalty. They think that some people would try, like, use, like, a spirit board and stuff, get in contact with Lucifer. I don't like the neighbour. If I follow you, can I have something that'll help me kill him off? That's legit what they believed. It was crazy. So after their, in quotes, diagnosis, Elizabeth and Abigail both accused the parish's slave, Tituba, for bewitching them. And they also accused a homeless woman called Sarah Good and a decrepit old, not decrepit, what would you say? She was a very sick, gaunt,
feeble, fragile.
Yeah, exactly.
Invalid.
An invalid, there you go. Elderly widow called Sarah Osborne. Obviously, there was no proof, but the three of these women were dragged in front of the magistrates and put straight on trial. And they were being judged by Jonathan Corwin and Jaw Hawthorne, and the investigation started. Now, by ways of investigation, it was intense questioning and also torture. So basically, how they would torture people back in the day, you'd have this thing called cutting. So it was basically various knives and, like, little needles that would be stabbed into the skin. And if you bled, that meant you were a human, like a normal person. But if you didn't bleed, that meant you were a witch. But years later, they found out the people that they had in doing the cutting would use blunt needles. So obviously when they were stabbing them, they weren't bleeding because they weren't sharp. So you weren't able to draw blood. So they were doing this on purpose.
Puncturing the skin.
Yeah. Fucking and all hell. These women then were being found on the basis that, oh, well, they didn't bleed. That shows that they have power. They're a witch. Or they'd, like, if anybody had a birthmark, this gave more intonation, as in, oh, this was a wound from a past life. This is a devil's mark. So if they had one of them, that went against your favour.
Which is, again, why I'm saying I would be done for being a witch if I ever went near those times, because I have the tea stain on my pipe.
And they also had this thing that they would do. Now, I don't know if they did it to these women, but for other people that were tortured, they had this thing called the pair of anguish. And basically what it was like a metal device, right? It literally kind of in the shape of a pear, and it had a long prong to it, and it turned. And the more you turned it, the wider it got. So they would put this in people's mouths, up the anus, in the vagine.
The anus!
And they would keep on...
Up the anus!
They'd keep cranking it.
When you started with mouth, I was like, oh, okay, because I assumed it was going straight up the coochkin. But, like...
Oh, no, it did.
It did. It did. Of course it did.
I just wanted to catch you off guard.
You wouldn't see them spreading a Jap's eye like that, though, would you?
No. But, like, imagine, I actually get a pain in my cooch just thinking of that.
Stop. Because even just going to the gynecologist where they have to use that thing that, like, whop, pops you open, it's just, it's so painful. It's so disgusting. I can't imagine having something that actually, like... No, I'm not even... No.
No,
yeah, I'm going to throw up.
So yeah, they do stuff like that to try get a confession, right? And during the two Sarahs and Tituba's trial, they actually bought in the accusers. So the little 9-year-old and the little 11-year-old. The girls came in withering in pain. They were screaming. They were throwing themselves about the place like they're having fits. And that meant that these young girls are telling the truth. There's no way they're in that much pain. There's no way that they're playing this whole thing up. They're not lying. These women are guilty. And I think, right, genuinely, there could have been something wrong with the two girls, because it happened to them the exact same time. It wasn't bewitchment,
mm-hmm.
but it was something else. Yeah. They got too caught up in a lie because adults were telling them, you were bewitched. You were bewitched. Who did this to you? And like pressuring them for answers that they had to go along with a lie.
Yeah.
And then it definitely. Just kept on like rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And it just got completely out of hand, as we'll see. So Sarah Good and Sarah Osborne both denied the charges. However, Tituba actually confessed. So she told like insanely vivid stories about how Satan had revealed himself to her in exchange for her undying loyalty. She said that for being loyal to him, that she would be given like a bit like powers and abilities to be able to harm people, to be able to bring herself wealth, which I don't understand, because back in that time she was a slave. So if she would have been,
yeah,
she would have hurt everybody else, like, and it would have been rightfully so because they enslaved her.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, would you not go after the people that have enslaved you? Like, not these two random little girls.
Exactly. She claimed that she had signed her signature in her own blood in the Devil's Book, right? Now, the thing is, the Devil's Book actually does exist. And it's real, and you can go see it. And she claimed that while she was signing the book, she saw Sarah Good's and Sarah Osborne's name in the book. So then, to the magistrates, that was proof. And just for a little bit of context as to what the Devil's Book is, right? It's the biggest book from the medieval period in history. Like, it's absolutely massive. And I think they found it in Prague. But basically, it contains accounts of religious wars back in, like, you know, from back in, like, just say the time of Jesus, the full Catholic Bible.
Okay.
And then incantations that would be able to rid powerful demons. So, like, kind of the top tier demons, how you would get rid of them if you were possessed. But you actually can go see it. But she claimed to have seen this anyway. I know, it doesn't actually sound savage. It's thought that Tituba only confessed because it came from a place of fear. So she thought, right, okay, well, if I confess to doing it, I can act as an informant.
Yes.
As to spare my life. Like, I can see where the logic came, and I don't blame her for doing it. It's just shit that so many other people got accused and had got killed because of that.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking, like, torture is not a reliable way to get a fucking confession. You could torture me into telling you that I'm the Zodiac Killer and I wasn't even alive when he was around. So,
do you know what I mean? It's like they just did it because, like in your story, they wanted to hear something and be able to spread it and be as dramatic as they could, because, like, that drama does actually spread fear sometimes, depending on what you're talking about.
Of course.
And it had to back them up as well. Like, give their reasoning and their cause to start a witch hunt, essentially.
Yeah. It is much easier to instill fear in the masses than it is to instill hope.
Exactly.
Absolute fact.
100%. So, Tituba basically said that there were other witches in Salem alongside her and were working on behalf of the devil to thwart the Puritans. And I just find it so embarrassing that they called themselves Puritans. When I guarantee ya, half them were shagging each other's husbands and each other's wives.
Oh, yeah.
And were sinning like, well, sinning, if you believe, you know, if you're religious.
Yeah, of course.
Doing all sorts of, like, dodgy shit in the eyes of God.
Definitely.
But definitely. Yeah, this was bad. After their trial, all three women were found guilty and were sentenced to death by hanging. And they were to remain in jail until a day of execution was given. And that began the insane witch hunts that we all know today. So a special court was actually set up, and they would hear the stories just of the accused, and they would pass judgment like that. What, like, it wasn't just in a normal court where you'd get brought in for robbing. Your judgment
kind of a Nuremberg rally kind of thing, or Nuremberg trials rather.
Yeah, exactly. It was its own special like thing itself. And so they'd hear the stories of the accused of the witchcraft and decided on their guilt. So this came into effect on May 1692. And over 150 men, women and children were accused of witchcraft and were put on trial.
Jesus Christ.
So over the coming months, many people that were accused actually followed into Tituba's footsteps and falsely confessed to practicing witchcraft, hoping that in turn they could save their lives as well. One of them, one of the first women that were murdered, because that's why it wasn't, they weren't put on trial, she was killed. So Bridget Bishop was the first victim of the Salem witch trials. So she'd actually been accused 10 years prior of witchcraft based on the fact that the town dyer of the time reported that she had come to him and asked could she dye a piece of lace an unreligious colour, that it was inappropriate.
What qualifies as an unreligious colour? This is like red or black.
Red or black.
That's a fuck off.
And that's why. But obviously, people just thought he was a bit crazy at the time. And she was let go.
Thank
but
God.
Now with the fresh fresh allegations. And because she was a lot older now, she was kind of wizardy looking. She was very argumentative. They thought...
Not the thing to be if you're a woman.
Nope. And because of the past accusation, there must have been some truth to it and no attention was just given to it in the past. So now she had to be put on trial. And obviously now there is no proof yet again. And she was hanged by the neck until she was dead.
Fabulous.
Yes, as were the old-fashioned times. Next then we have Sarah Good. So she was found guilty on the basis of spectral evidence. So the people that accused her said her spectre went to them in their dream and she performed witchcraft and bewitched them in their dream.
Listen, I had a dream last night that someone just transferred me literally 5 million quid. And it turned out they were my cousin, but it was also like somebody off of, I think, Coronation Street. Like, that doesn't mean any of that is true. I also had a dream that me, you and Quiva had to go into a fucking, like, basically like a playground room, you know, like a ball pit and all these slides and stuff.
Yeah.
And we had to like go through it like an obstacle course. And whichever one of us won got to work as like a drink mixer in this fucking shack.
Like that sounds like a fantastic dream and I would absolutely smoke you in that. But doesn't mean that...
I won. You and Quiva were very upset and walked away from me.
Reading.
Yeah, that never happened. Dreams don't mean shit. Like, no one's going to give me 5 million quid and we are never have to do a fucking gladiator style battle for a job.
Imagine getting someone killed on the basis that they had a dream that you did something bad to them.
You know what I mean? It's like being mad at, like, that actually happens. The women that are mad at their boyfriends because they dream cheated on them.
Like, that's crazy.
It's actual psychotic.
Lunacy. And then as well, like, this is just bullshit now. Tituba and a lot of people, like, in the village had claimed they'd seen Sarah flying on a fucking broomstick during midnight.
Sure.
And then seeing her doing, like, witchcrafty stuff and having, like, what would you even say, like, rituals and hosting gatherings in the woods. And then, because of that, they also accused her 4-year-old daughter of being a witch.
Ah.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Thankfully, the 4-year-old daughter, you know... Not escaped.
Showed no signs of witchery.
Exactly. And she was excused. But on the 19th of July, Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, Rebecca Nurse and Susanna Martin were hung. And these women were all hung on the basis that their spectre visited someone's dream and bewitched them.
That is, how do you even bewitch someone in the dream plane? Like,
understand.
How?
Like, if you're having any sort of like sleep paralysis and you feel like something weird has happened, like, I can understand they were like, they would have been frightened of it because it frightens us now and we know what it is. But then just to point to some rando down the road and be like, oh, she's the one that was in my bedroom last night trying to murder me.
Like, I didn't accuse anyone of actually trying to suffocate me the time I had the sleep paralysis where I watched somebody put a pillow over my face. It never happened.
No.
It was all in my mind. So, and that was fucking terrifying. I really thought I was going to die that night.
I fucking hate sleep paralysis. I'm afraid if I talk about it, I'm going to get it because of how horrible it is.
I'm probably going to die in my sleep tonight now because we've talked about this.
Touch
but your luck.
Touch wood. Right, so.
Let me go.
Next then we have Sana with the podcast, Stop Being Selfish. You're our main host.
Sorry.
We can't have you KOing on us.
It's true. I have to keep you bitches online, so...
Stop me and Quiva from fighting each other.
Exactly. My one reason to live.
So, next then we had Susanna Martin, and she actually wasn't even from Salem. She was from a neighbouring village called Amesbury. She was also previously convicted of being a witch, but charges were dropped. Because, yet again, what have we not got? Proof!
Any fucking evidence!
Exactly. So in 1692, she was arrested when 4 girls from Salem said that her spectre, yet again, had attacked them. And all that was given about her description to find her guilty was one of the girls said, oh yeah, Goody Martin from Amesbury. That was it. That was all they got. And it was like, they didn't even have to recognise her. The accusation alone was enough to find her guilty and she was hung on July 19th.
Jesus Christ.
So they just got a last name. Like the prosecutors were just given a last name and decided... Oh yeah, well, she was accused of being a witch in the past. Must be this one. Girls, don't even bother looking at her if she's the one you saw in your dream. up to the fucking gallows you get.
We'll just kill her off, because, like, who needs her anyway? Even if she's not a witch, it doesn't matter. At least she's gone.
It's ridiculous. And so then next we have Martha Carrier. And she was hung on August 19th along with John Proctor and Reverend George Burrow. I'm going to struggle with this last name because it looks French. I think it's Burrows. We're just going to go with that.
Let's go with Burrows.
We'll go with John Burrows. Or George Burrows either. And two other men were hung. Exactly. One of them. We'll pick one. Doesn't matter. And two other men were hung with them as well. Now, Martha's family were already hugely unpopular in Salem because they were blamed for bringing smallpox to Andover.
For fuck's sake.
So after she was accused, the authorities investigated and tortured her and her two teenage sons. The two sons basically confessed to being a part of witchcraft and performing it themselves, and then said that their mother was doing it as well. And she was constantly referred to being a rampant hag and how she wanted to be the queen of hell. So that alone led to her going to the gallows. I think, yep, personally, because the family were that hated, everybody clearly had a thing against her. It was just, do you know what? Let's get rid of her. This, yep, is a good excuse. That's the way I see
totally
it.
I fully agree.
Because, like, if the whole family has been blamed for bringing smallpox, like, they might have. They didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
They clearly got it themselves.
It's not like the little bastards that are going around spitting into people's mouths now trying to infect them with coronavirus. Yeah. Like, you can't, you don't, no one deliberately brings an infection of smallpox.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Next.
And that's why you vaccinate your kids, so that we don't get smallpox back. Just saying.
Thank you, anti-vaxxers. Or do you know, little polio can go fucking die.
Yep.
Now, so next then, now this one is very interesting because it kind of has a little bit then of an actual supernatural after effect. So
okay,
this one then is Martha Corey. And before all of this, like, she was a God-fearing Christian woman. Like, she would religiously go to church. She would help spread the word of God. And what first attracted suspicion to her was she tried to stop her husband Giles from attending one of the early, like, examinations of the witch trials. So kind of going to court and seeing, mm-hmm, what was done to them under questioning, right? So she would go, right, there, like, as far as, like, trying to hide his saddle so he obviously couldn't ride on into town. Stupid little woman shit that thinks, like, oh, he's not going to go if I do this. He's absolutely going to go. Yeah. But, you know, she was trying her best, like.
Yeah. Bless her.
So all it took was one accusation from the, in quotes, afflicted to have Martha arrested for bewitching someone and making them blind.
What?
Yeah, apparently she made a bitch blind from her dream. Someone tell me now.
Lovely.
And it wasn't from their poor diet or anything that could have impaired their vision. It was poor Martha in her spectral form. Obviously she was not guilty, so she was defiant in court because she knew herself, mm-hmm, and everybody else knew in town that she would, like, I mean, a God-fearing Christian woman, like, could have been a nun. Do you know, so yeah, she's like, why would I associate myself with the devil and witchcraft?
Yeah,
so,
the last person possible to sign herself soul,
exactly,
over, like.
Given her attitude, that turned against her, and the court turned against her as well.
Of course.
And her shitbag husband also turned against her and then testified against her in court. So he claims,
son of a bitch.
Oh, I've no time for him. And he kind of gets his comeuppance. But he started to testify and he said, oh, late at night he would see her praying to the altar. It'd be in total darkness. She'd have candlelights. He could see that she was praying, but she wasn't saying a prayer aloud. So it must have been evil incantations. And because the husband was always believed, this meant she was guilty.
So if you don't pray out loud, you're automatically a witch. Because, like, I've only, obviously I don't pray anymore, but when I was a heavily Catholic child, I prayed all the time in my head.
Because, yeah, he was told, like, oh, you can always say the prayer in your head. Holy God will hear you.
Exactly. And you don't want other people being like, dear God, please send me a bicycle. I really want a bicycle. Like, you know what other people hear in that shit?
Exactly.
Or you're praying for the souls of your family, but you're marked because you're praying for the souls of your family.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, I don't want them to know I care.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to pray out loud. That's fucking ridiculous.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Jesus Christ. That's the most ridiculous part of this whole ridiculous story so far.
Oh, wait. It gets even more ridiculous, but also kind of scary. Like that, Martha was found guilty and she was sent to the gallows along with seven other women on the 22nd of September. Right? And this, right, at first was seemingly going in Giles's favour. And I'm just wondering, was he not, that he was afraid of Martha? Because he knew she wasn't, like, a saint and a witch. Was he just a bit fed up of her bullshit? And just didn't like her or wasn't in love with her anymore? So the only thing to do, because you couldn't get divorced back in the day, was either murder her yourself or get her accused of witchcraft and have the people do it for you.
Yup. I'd say he had a young bit of fluff that was in town that he wanted to be getting stuck into all the time.
Yeah.
And he needed the old lady out of the way.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, right, now that you've said that, because, like, this is all just a theory. He was taking, mm-hmm, that horse not to go in and see the witch trials, but to go see his missus, and his missus then to is go the shag one his mistress. Of the,
absolutely,
in quotes, afflicted, then have would have been accusing of poor Martha that got her murder alert.
Yep.
We've cracked it. Cracked it.
Best detectives known to man must do, I swear to God.
Fucking call me Angela Lansbury, like, I know my shit. But anyway, like I said, it's seemingly going Giles's favour. Until he himself got accused of witchcraft.
Yes, suck it, Giles.
I was delighted. So, he was obviously taken into court and was very persistent that he was innocent and refused to cooperate. Seeing how Martha got treated, he knew he was a dead man walking. So, he knew that if he confessed, his estate would be taken by the state and right. not given to his remaining family members. So, if he did, or if he didn't confess, the family would get it. But if he did and was found guilty, Salem Village would basically get control of his assets. So, he never gave in. And because of his attitude and how much he was being, like, really defiant, they decided, do you know what? I think it's time to torture him. So, he was sentenced to death by pressing. So, basically, if you don't know what pressing...
Oh!
Oh, yes, yes. So, for anybody that doesn't know what pressing is, you were stripped down naked. You were made lie on the ground with, like, a heavy wooden board placed over your body. And every couple of hours, big stones would be placed on top of you. And the longer it went on, more and more and more stones would be pressed onto you until you either conceded or you died. But a lot of the time, people's innards would get that squished that they're... like guts basically would come out every orifice, so I'm thinking like bum hole, eyes, yep. ears, mouth, the whole thing.
Yeah,
you're getting guts out of. So this was just how kind of disgusting it was. But Giles, being the ever
squeezing a fucking grape, it just
pops. Like that's literally what it's like. Yep. It's like your man's nutsack in that film. What's it called?
Oh my God, I spit in your grave too.
Yeah,
what a movie.
That's what it's like. So, being the ever defiant fucker that he was, Giles started to scream at them. More weight. Add more weight. Can you imagine being in that crowd and hear this absolute lunatic that you acutely told people thought was a witch at the time roaring to have more stones put on top of you?
Listen, Giles was a bad dude, but honestly my respect level for him has just gone up like tenfold.
Yeah.
Because fucking hell. For one, it's clever because it means he dies faster. Like, smart man, exactly. Get it out of the way.
Exactly.
But, like, it's also, like, a big fuck you to the people that are torturing him. They're there, like, oh, I've got my big stone.
Like, I'm going to break you.
On top of him.
Nope.
Yeah, it's like, more! Ha ha ha! I love it.
He lasted for 4 days.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Ew.
Like, I know, like, I completely agree with you. Like, he definitely did it on the basis that he thought, okay, I'm going to be killed a lot quicker.
But how long would the poor fucker have lived if he didn't?
Exactly. But before he died, he told them that he curses the town of Salem. And please remember that, because there's something that's very relevant to this day that happens in Salem, and they think it's because of his curse, right?
I love it.
So, like I said, the torture continued for 4 days until he died on September 19th, and it was just 3 days before his wife, Martha, was hung. After Giles's curse, every sheriff that has held office in Salem since then has died while in office or, like, has to retire early. Due to mysterious blood diseases that did, like, at every sheriff has died or has to retire due to a blood illness or a blood disease.
Ooh, a blood curse. I love it.
Everyone since in Salem. And I think that is insane. Crazy. After Giles's very public execution, a lot of people felt uncomfortable with the Salem witch trials. Not like hanging people off the gallows wasn't traumatic enough. It wasn't enough for them. They loved that little bit of gore and it was something to talk about. But seeing a man's guts kind of pour out the zane was a bit too much for them.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a bit too much for anyone. Like,
that's just a small bit. Makes you a small bit queasy. And then the public decided, oh, wait, we don't have any evidence to say that they're witches.
Oh, now you notice.
Maybe. Just maybe. We don't all hold them accountable on witchcraft when we don't have any proof. So then the trial...
Just 20 people later.
Oh, actually it was 25. 20 were hung. Oh,
excuse me.
Oh, see, no, because they did say 20, but basically 20 were hung, 4 died in jail while awaiting, like, execution, and poor Giles then was, you know, squished.
Crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the trials continued until early 1693. And then after they became... like, liberated, I suppose. All those that were still in prison on the grounds of witchcraft were released without charge. Then in January 1697, Massachusetts General Court declared a day of fasting for the horrific tragedy that the trials were deemed then unlawful. This was only a couple of years later, and then they're horrific. They were unlawful. It's like, you could have had that attitude, because it's the very same people that would have declared it unlawful exactly. that would have been there during the time. And it makes me so mad. But then in 1711, the Massachusetts colony passed legislation that basically restored the good names of the condemned and gave like financial restitution to their families. So their descendants got a bit of compensation, like, oh, sorry, we murdered your auntie or your uncles just because of rumours and hot gossip.
Yeah, we just had a bit of a bad, mad period there. Sorry, we were just kind of bored because there's no Game of Thrones to watch here. Like, what the fuck?
Now, do you remember earlier on when we were talking about, oh, where did the whole bewitching thing come from? And you're like, oh, could have been epilepsy.
Yes, yes.
Right? So a study in the 1970s cited that a fungus ergot, right, this was found in rye, wheat and other cereals that would have been a main part of their diet, right, at the time. So obviously don't process food back in the day like that. We process it. And what kind of afflictions does it cause? Contorting, Lizzie. Painfully screaming, fits. So they're like, this is definitely what it was. It was the symptoms and the delusions. Like, they'd be vomiting, they'd have muscle pain. And obviously, because they didn't understand that at the time, that's definitely what it was. And this is what led to the saying, bewitched.
My dude, ergo is the same fucking thing that caused the dancing plague.
Stop!
Yes! So when you were like saying they were dancing in the forest and stuff and then they had no explanation for it, that's where my brain went. I was like, oh yeah, what about like ergo when that caused the dancing plague? Literally, it exactly was.
That's why I was saying, it was a mad fungus that did stupid shit to people, and then just because people were scared, didn't understand it, rumours spread and 20 people were murdered.
Wow.
And that
wow
is the Salem Witch Trials.
Good job, religious people, good job.
Well done on ruining more and more people's lives.
Absolutely. So do you actually have a like small side story that's going to take me literally 2.5 seconds to tell? Mm. Just while it's kind of in the same, it ties into both of our stories, because when I was looking into the deaths of the philosophers at the start,
yeah,
I ended up looking into a lot of deaths of philosophers. And I came across one. Her name was Hypatia. She was a Greek philosopher, and basically she was known to be like a pagan, and she ended up being captured by Christian men.
Of course.
By a mob of them. They caught her and they skinned her alive with oyster shells.
Oyster shells?
With fucking oyster shells.
Oh, they're blunt.
How do you skin somebody with an oyster shell? Like, very similar to mussels, and you do eat mussels, and I've been like, I was just imagining like a plate of pasta that I got that had mussels and prawns in it. It was delicious, by the way. But I was just looking at the mussel shells in my mind. And I was just imagining like even just dragging that off of my skin and how much force I would have to use
to be able to try and
actually flame myself with it.
Oh, like, stop.
How the fuck do you skin somebody with oyster shells? Yep, that was just my mad little side story, because like, it kind of ties into both of ours, and I just thought, like,
that is crazy.
Wild. Especially because there were so few female philosophers back in those days, like, with this wild woman with her wild theories.
Must have been working on behalf of the devil. Yeah.
Exactly, because it is much, much said that if you're a philosopher, you're not religious.
But is it, so, as well, right, just saying, it seemed like if all these stories were true, and all these women were getting blamed, devil's a bit of a feminist, like, he's all for the women.
Yeah, really, like, honest to God.
It's like, no wonder we like him.
It's always the women that do shit with the devil, like.
Exactly.
It's always, apart from the odd few, like, possessions, but they just got exorcised. They didn't need to be fucking hung. Yeah, well, there we go. Lucifer's a feminist, he's on our team. Gay icon.
It's now been fully announced, and we can tell he's definitely delighted for it.
Yeah, so that was our very stressful, light-hearted episode this week that still ended up being about murder, even though it wasn't supposed to be. And we tried our damnedest not to make it about murder, but it still
it's
was.
It's so hard not to.
There's too much history in murder. Like, everything throughout history has to do with murder, so we can't stray away from it, really. We hope you enjoyed those stories. They're a little bit of lesser-known things, and I'm sure everyone knows about the Salem Witch Trials, but you're not going to know all those details. I mean, I did not know about your man getting fucking squished.
Yay.
That is, like, a fly on a windscreen. That is traumatic.
Could you imagine?
But maybe don't accuse your fucking wife of being a witch then, because karma comes
and
real quick to get you.
Maybe don't think everything you don't understand is evil. Just,
yeah.
Because as the history has shown before, it doesn't mean you're correct. So,
exactly. 9 times out of 10, you're wrong. What's the quote from Dark? It's a, what we know is a drop, what we don't know is an ocean.
There you go.
There you go. Live by that. Don't murder people. If you meet a witch, be nice to her. It's just that simple, really. Yeah, so that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Like I said, hope you enjoy it. And next week we'll be back with what I'm really not looking forward to.
Nope.
And that is the bulk of the murders of Dean Corll, the Candyman killer. So yeah, that's going to be a fun week. So we'll see you next week for that. And in the meantime, always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles. And join our cult.
Okay, Cuiva's becoming a brony. We're going to have an intervention in a couple of weeks.
Oh my god, like, Applejack is so sexy, right? Sexy, right?
Sexy, right?
Sexy, right?